So we're going to talk about hatred today. And you won't hear me talk about hatred very much because it's sort of the polar opposite of what the prevailing theme of the Bible is, which is, of course, love. God's perfect love for us and his commandment for us to love each other as he loved us, right? So that is a prevailing theme from beginning to end. So we're going to talk about hate because as important and as holy, let me make this statement. I don't think there's probably anything more holy than love. The Bible describes God as love, so we're going to say the holiest thing there is God, and God is love, so we're going to say at least one of the holiest things there are. We say grace is holy and mercy is holy and forgiveness is holy, but we're going to say that love is holy. So we know that to be true. That does not, however, mean that hate cannot also be holy. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a season for everything, and there's a need for us to learn to hate certain things. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God hates certain things. And one thing that I can tell you to be true is that you and I have to learn to passionately, deeply hate certain things. And before you learn to hate anything else, you need to learn to hate everything that's not true. You have to learn to hate everything that's not true, because here's what happens. As soon as you and I begin to indulge or accept or receive or take in anything that is anything other than true, it begins to compromise what truth is, and we begin to accept counterfeits for what truth actually is, and that's where the enemy begins to control our lives. When there's enough truth that it makes it easy for us to swallow and believe, but there's enough contamination in there. I used to have somebody say this, it only takes a little manure in the brownies to ruin the whole patch. Right? Yeah. Doesn't matter how little there is in there. Just a little poop in the brownies. It's just a little bit is all it takes to ruin the whole batch. And all it takes is a little thing other than truth itself to ruin it all. And so we're going to talk for the next few minutes. I'm going to tell you four reasons you have to learn to hate anything that's not truth. So grab your notes if you don't have them in your bulletins. You can open up the Summit Church app. Somebody told me last week that sometimes I move a little too quickly for app people who are typing in. And they said, we've got some who are not quite savvy with the typing on their phone keyboard, so they're doing this number. Click, click, click. So I'm gonna try and help you out just a little bit. I hate anything that's not true because, number one, rumors, gossip, and lies ruin valuable relationships. Rumors, gossip, and lies ruin valuable relationships. So if you look at the Old Testament as nothing else than just God's long runway in which he unfolds and reveals himself. Because sometimes it's hard for us. We look at the Old Testament, it's a little bit confusing to see God in a certain way because he looks different in the New Testament. But think of it this way. God has to set up the plot line, the scenario in which we begin to understand why we need him. Where we came from, what we did to separate ourselves from him, and why we need him. And in unfolding his character and telling us what we need to do to live a life of prosperity and health and strength and to reach the destiny that God created for us, God sets out certain priorities. And he gives us, there's one a particular set of scripture in which we're given, and Israel was given, the Ten Commandments. There's a great scene in a movie in which he's coming down. It's a comedy. I wouldn't call it a good movie to watch, but he's coming down the mountain and he's got 20 commandments and he goes, these are God's 20 commandments. And he drops one of the tablets and he goes, I mean the 10 commandments. So we're going to assume we got all 10, the one that God wanted us to have. And among those that God gives us is, he says, don't kill people. Don't murder each other. Right? Now, we always kind of go, well, duh. But God has to give us those, because if not, you and I begin to sort of make up our own rules and we justify and rationalize why it's okay under certain circumstances to do what we think needs to be done. And so God says, do not murder people. He also says, don't have sexual relations with people that are other than your spouse. Like, these are some big ones. He says, don't worship other gods. You need to worship me. I'm the only one true God. And then among these really massive ones, he puts this one in there, and it's in your notes, and it's Exodus 20:16. It says, do not tell lies about others. That doesn't feel as big to us. And the reason I know it doesn't feel as big to us and we wonder why it made that top 10 list is because if you and I were writing our own top 10 list of things that you and I should not do, that humanity should not do, that are destructive, that are hurtful, that are painful, that are top 10 bad things to do, I don't know that we would put lying in there, and here's why. Because if you compare the frequency at which you and I lie versus the frequency at which you and I commit adultery or commit murder or worship false gods, we do lying a whole lot more, which means we don't think lying is all that bad. You know, the average American lies 23 times a day. Now, let's say you're not average. Let's say you're above average. And I mean, let's say you have more dignity and honesty and truth. To get an average means there has to be a low and a high, and then they average those two numbers out. Even if followers of Christ are lying 3 times a day, you go, that's 20 less than the average American. I'm doing pretty well. It means you and I have begun some sort of like affair or love affair with the idea of twisting truth, of manipulating truth. Listen to what Romans 13:9 says. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, or do not murder, do not steal, or do not covet. Listen, I'm going to throw this one in here because he's not really giving the exhaustive list. He's just giving examples. Do not lie. And every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Did you hear that? That the commandments are given to us, including do not lie, because it is a value statement of affection, of the love, of the value and worth we place on other people. I'll put it this way. If you absolutely despise being lied about or rumors being spread about you or lies being told about you or gossip being about you, if you hate the idea that somebody's telling falsehoods about you, shouldn't you equally hate the idea that you would be a part of a process that would advance a lie about somebody else? Amen, 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 amen. Thank you. I just wanted it to show up on the video later that people agreed with me on that. Right? I mean, you don't want to be a part of a system. You don't want to be a part of a process in which advances falsehoods about somebody else. Because Jesus himself said, what you sow seed into, that's what you'll reap, and you'll reap it back multiple times over and over again. And so you know what I want to do? I want to reap grace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and understanding into people's lives. So I get that back. I want to live a life in such a way that if someone's talking about me, if someone's spreading a rumor to you about me, you just go, that doesn't compute. That doesn't make any sense at all. And you want to be the kind of person that stops those things in their tracks. Proverbs 16:28 says, troublemakers are always causing problems. Their gossip breaks up the closest of friends. I want to be a reconciler. I want to be a peacemaker in people's lives. I don't want to destroy relationships. I don't want to destroy reputation. Number two, I have to hate anything that's not true because lying in any form destroys my reputation and my credibility. So lying probably comes more easily to us than I think we're willing to admit. And the reason that's true is because we've become comfortable with sanitizing lies in a way that makes us feel more comfortable with outright lying. So we have versions of lying. So here's what we've done. We've made lying and truth, we've sort of made those degrees and shades so that we can sort of be somewhere near truth. and far enough away from a full-out lie that we feel okay with it. So we take truth and we edit it. We omit some of it, the stuff that doesn't work to our favor. We mix our opinion with it. I don't do counseling, and no pastor should do counseling unless they have a degree in counseling and are licensed to counsel, but I'm not. I have a degree and license to do this right here, what I'm doing. So I don't often meet with people and go through counseling type things, but I meet with people, try and give them spiritual input and coaching, move them towards counseling. And what happens usually is when somebody's in trouble, they'll call and they'll say, "Pastor, I need to meet. Things are not going well in our marriage." And I say, I'm so sorry. Let's get together and we can talk. And they'll sit down and they'll tell me their story. And my heart is turned and my heart's broken and I hear their story and I get angry for them. I get frustrated. I get angry that their spouse is doing this to them. And I find myself advocating for them. And I think, you know what? Let's get your spouse in here. I'm gonna straighten them out. I'm gonna tell them how wrong this is. I'm gonna tell them they need to treat you differently. Spouse shows up next time we meet. Spouse gives a totally different story. One that includes facts that the first person didn't give me. And I think, oh, I've been duped. I've been tricked. I feel foolish because that person had a motivation to omit certain things and to edit certain things and to manipulate that truth in such a way that truth reflected better on them than it did on their spouse because they're mad, they're angry, they're hurt. Somewhere in between probably lies the truth, but they had their versions of it. They had manipulated it, twisted it, omitted it, edited it. We speculate, we hear something that sounds like a fact, and we just move it on. How do I know? Because I'm on Facebook. I see things that people put on there, and I, with 20 seconds on Google, I can tell you it's a lie. It's a fake article. It's fake news. It's just a lie, and you know what? It feels like truth to us, and we want it to be truth because we hate this politician, and so we want this article about them to be true. So we just move it on. Or they take a little bit of truth and they just exaggerate it, and you and I are part of that process. When we do that, we become somebody who loses their credibility when you and I can't speak truth and truth only. So what Scripture says in Ephesians 4:25. So discard, listen to what it says, every form of dishonesty and lying. So I like how it says dishonesty and lying because sometimes those are two different things that accomplish the same goal. They mislead you from the truth. So that you will be known. I want to be known for things, but I don't want to be known as somebody who twists and modifies and perverts the truth. You'll be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. You have a reputation among this community of faith right here and this community at large. And I want to tell you something. When your name is spoken, something is attached to it. A reputation is attached to it. Don't you want it to be one in which you speak truth? And if you don't have truth to speak, you just don't speak. Because it's okay to be silent sometimes. You guys remember a series I did called Shut Up? I love that. I ran across it. I was cleaning out my office, or cleaning up my office, I should say, at the church offices, and I had all these message series, and I ran across that one. And I remember being over it. We were at the theater still, and being outside. I think I told you the story before. Lisa and I were inside the theater, and we had mirror kind of windows on the front. And we remember we used to use the posters to advertise the series, and this lady was standing out there on the on a cell phone with somebody, and she's all, "I'm not sure what kind of church this is. It says shut up. I'm telling you, it says shut up. I don't know." And we're hearing this through the other side of the door, and I was just like, yes, I did it. I don't know what I did, but I did it. That's the exact result that I wanted. Sometimes it's okay to just shut up, right? Because if you don't have anything truthful to say, and the Bible even says this, when you speak truth, you speak it in love. Truth always brings healing, peace, reconciliation. Sometimes Truth can be confrontational, but conflict and confronting someone comes with the motivation of restoring them to peace. Number three is this: I have to hate anything that's not true because listening to lies multiplies their power. Listening to lies multiplies their power. It's been said that a lie can make its way halfway around the world while truth is still putting on its shoes. Isn't that true? A lie will make its way onto the front page of a paper and the retractions on page 34. Sorry, we didn't get the facts right on that one. Falsehoods and rumors and lies and gossip, half-truths, they spread like wildfire. You know where lies get their power from? Being spoken, but equally important, being listened to. A lie doesn't have any power if you don't hear it. If you just go, I'm not listening to this. If you stop being the audience, the liar has no one to talk to, except people who love lies. Sure, it's going to be told to somebody, but it shouldn't be told to you. And you say, well, how do I know it's a lie? Because you, as a follower of Christ, lean on, depend on the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And you say, first of all, if this is true and you're telling me this, and this doesn't make me love this person more or feel greater compassion for them or feel greater mercy for them, if it doesn't make me cheer for them more, I don't want to receive this. Why would you accept any information that destroys a reputation in your mind of someone? Right? A couple of you think so. Exodus 23:1 says this: do not pass along a false report. Do not plot with evil people to give false witness. First of all, to pass along something means you have to have first received it, right? You had to first hear it. You had to first listen to it. Can't pass it along if you don't know it. We were watching, Lisa and I were watching, I don't even know what it was. We were at a restaurant or something, and it was relay. You know how they run, and then somebody runs up behind them and hands them the baton? I don't like most sports, especially ones that don't make a ton of sense to me, and that one just doesn't make a ton of sense. The person on your team's running away from you, and you're trying to catch up and hand them a baton. I just thought, wouldn't it be funny if that person just kept running one? Like, nope, I'm not taking it. Nope, I'm not taking it. I don't want it. I don't want the responsibility. Take it. Person just keeps running. People are going to chase you with the baton of a lie. Nope. I'm just going to run. I don't want to be a part of the I don't want to hear it because I'm human and it affects me. It affects the way I think about people. Please don't tell me anything that's not true about somebody else. And if they're in sin or there's something going on in their life that needs correction, that needs rebuke, that needs healing and restoration, there's a biblical path to doing that. And it starts with them. It starts with you compassionately and lovingly coming to them. Then bringing a couple witnesses if they refuse to repent. And then if they still don't, then you bring them to church leadership. See, there's a whole process, but you don't just skip all that and just start rumors about people and start talking about people. Don't receive a lie, because when you do, you become part of, it says plot. You know what the other meaning for plot is, that the synonym for plot? It's conspiracy. There has to be participants in a conspiracy. And you just say, I'm not going to conspire to ruin somebody's reputation to advance a falsehood about somebody. In Zechariah, it says we keep moving truth forward, doing everything and anything to err on the side of protecting truth. That way we know that we're succeeding at establishing peace. And lies disrupt that. Here's what it says, Zechariah 8:16. Here are the things that you must do. Speak truth to each other. Wouldn't that be great if every time somebody talked to you, you absolutely knew everything they were saying was truth? Wouldn't that be amazing that you never had to question, because their reputation was stellar, their reputation was intact, because you know they never advance anything that's not true? pursue justice in your courts, render decisions that reflect truth and bring peace to the community. And you say, well, how do I know someone's telling the truth? Can I tell you this? You should always err on the side of something establishing someone, something elevating and lifting up someone, something that always covers a sin instead of exposes a sin. The Bible says that compassionately and lovingly we cover each other. We're all failures. We're all screw-ups. We're all making mistakes. We're all grieving the heart of God. When did it become our ministry to uncover the sins of other people and to expose each other? We should be cheering for each other's restoration, each other's healings, each other's repentance, each other's growth and health in Christ. So we should always err on the side of, I don't want to hear something that tears down somebody else, that exposes. I just don't want to hear that. Fourth and finally is this, I have to hate anything that's not true because making enemies with others makes me an enemy of God. Just in case we're uncertain of how big of a deal it is to mess around with anything other than truth, to indulge, to pass on, to listen to anything other than truth, we should know this. How seriously does God see it? It doesn't even matter the relationship you and I have with truth or lies. What relationship does God have with truth and lies? And God is a passionate hater of everything that's not true. Listen to what Jesus said about himself. John 14:6, Jesus explained, he gave three nouns. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father. So Jesus said, you have to accept and know me, be in relationship with those three things, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, of all the ways Jesus could have described himself, and he could have used a million nouns and adjectives to describe himself, Jesus used those three, which just tells me that those are the most important things we can understand about him. Jesus is the path to heaven, the way. He is the truth. Anything measured against him that does not stand up to that truth is not then truth. You don't have a truth. Just living my truth. Just living my truth. You don't have a truth. You don't have your own version of Jesus because Jesus is the truth. So you don't get to mold. He's not. Somebody bought me. I don't even know what they bought it for me, hon. They bought me the little mini Stretch Armstrong. You guys remember Stretch Armstrong? Some of you are old enough to. The millennials are like, what's a Stretch Armstrong? A Stretch Armstrong. And you can just pull them and pull their head, and they were just filled with this goo. And if you were lucky enough as a kid, your Stretch Armstrong had a cut in its arm, and then you could like see the goo on the inside. It was really cool. So anyway, that is not Jesus. Jesus is not your conformable truth that you make into anything you need it to be so that you can keep doing the things that you like to do. So that you can make a dozen pathways to heaven, so that you can modify the Bible, so that this is a sin, but this isn't a sin, because I like doing this thing. I don't understand that, so yeah, it's definitely a sin. Jesus is the truth. So listen, if Jesus is the truth, and something is anti-truth, get ready, we're gonna do a little theology here, then that thing or that person is anti-truth. Christ. I'll just tell you, I'm going to push the fast forward button. We're going to go all the way to Revelation. The Antichrist does not look favorably upon. There is not a good ending for the Antichrist. And anything that stands anti-Christ, can I tell you, is the enemy of God. Lies. Those who knowingly advance lies. You destroy God's creation in doing that, and God does not look upon that favorably. If you're not convinced, listen to Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six evils that God truly hates, and a seventh that's an abomination to him. If you go, I don't understand the math there. Think of it this way. It's like going, you know what? There's six things. You know what? There's seven things. There's seven things that I hate them so passionately. putting others down while considering yourself superior. Spreading lies and rumors. Defaming somebody's reputation. Spreading lies and rumors. Spilling the blood of innocent. Plotting in your heart. Remember, we talked about the conspiracy, the plot towards another. Gloating over doing what's plainly wrong. Spouting lies and false testimony. How many times does he have to say this in here for us to get it, that these are things that he absolutely passionately hates? Stirring up strife between friends. These are entirely despicable with God. This is God's hit list of things that infuriate him. That is a holy hatred. That is from the heart of God. He hates when we do things that destroy each other and destroy relationships with each other and destroy reputation of each other. God has not, I want you to hear this, of all the ministry gifts that you've been given, of all the calling that you've been given to minister to the body of Christ, can I tell you that one calling that no person in this room has is to defame anyone else. You and I are not put into each other's lives to critique or criticize each other. We're here to establish peace and hope and forgiveness. Jesus hung around some incredibly broken people, complete messes. As a matter of fact, our next message series, it's only going to be 2 or 3 messages long. It's called Full Disclosure. It's really, if we're going to be a part of this church, we really need to understand what the church is, who the leaders are, and who the people are. And I don't mean specifically like doing an introduction of your leadership team here at the church. I'm talking about how God established it and what rules God put around to the way that you and I are supposed to see and treat each other. But I'll just give you a summary. We're a mess. And Jesus's ministry was not to come and condemn the world, but to save the world. Our job is to not advance. And I'm not talking just among the body of Christ. It is not your job to dethrone a governor or a president. It's not your ministry. I know that's super disappointing. I know that some of you thought you were going to champion and lead the cause to getting somebody elected or somebody not elected, or you really feel like that's what you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to uncover things that somebody didn't already know about whoever. Can I just tell you that's not... Your job is to tell truth, and truth is Jesus Christ. How much are you doing that? How much have you done that this week where you advanced the name of Christ, where you advanced the heart of Jesus into the life of somebody? Listen, I hope you know I love you. I hope you know that I'm not mad. I hope you know that I get that we wrestle to know truth. But I do want to tell you that God does not hold his truth back from us. God isn't a mystery that can't be solved. He isn't a Rubik's Cube that just can't be, you know, we just keep twisting and turning and I don't understand it. God literally gave us his word so that we could know him. So when you read his word, you know him. And when you pray and then when you engage in worship, you begin to take on more and more knowledge of the character and the person of God. It becomes more and more of the way you think and the way you talk and the way you process and the way you see people. Talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes it's my perspective is so off. Can I tell you something that's a lie from the enemy? Contact lenses. I just started wearing contact lenses because I get headaches from wearing glasses, but I need glasses because I can't see anything. And there's so many promises made to me about contact lenses. And I figured out that they are plastic demons. I didn't know that demons could come in the form of this. I was late getting here. I could not get my left contact into my eye. It kept folding in half. So it was in there. It was just folded in half. So I was like, maybe if I look like this, I can see through the top half of it. really well. You're like, what's the point to that? The point is that we constantly wrestle with expectation versus reality. We want certain things to be true and they're not true, and so we try to twist truth until we make it that way. Sometimes we don't understand Jesus or why he wants us to do the things that he does or why he wants us to behave the way that we should behave or any of that, and so we just go, I don't like that version of Jesus, so I'm going to change it to the Jesus that allows me to keep being the way I am. See, Jesus loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay as you are. And so he's always using truth to draw you to the better version of yourself, to what we say here is your highest and best. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let me ask you this. If you just say, I don't see myself as a liar or a gossiper or someone who is a rumor monger. I don't set out to attack people. I don't think I do. But there's no doubt in my mind that I don't have the love affair with truth like I need to. That I've become too comfortable with letting half-truths and edited truth and exaggerated truth and things that just have been manipulated. I don't check facts, and I don't always know if what I'm saying is true. It just sounds true, or somebody who told me and I thought that they would tell me that. I got to be honest. I haven't been diligent in guarding the truth and fighting lies. Any version of dishonesty, any kind of lie. I don't want to be a part of that conspiracy. I want to advance the heart, the mind, the word of Christ into people's lives. I don't have to even quote scripture to quote the heart of God. I don't have to give chapter and verse of the Bible in order to speak truth to people, to say things to people just as Jesus would say things to people. I want to be a peacemaker. And truth establishes peace. That's my prayer for myself. That's my challenge to myself. That's my commitment to Christ today, is I want to advance his word and advance truth in my life. I want to fight back against every form of dishonesty, every lie. If that's you, would you just say, yeah, that's me, and stick your hand up? Yeah, all over. That's awesome. God, you're so good. You're so patient. You're so loving. You're so kind to us. You knew we would struggle with this. You knew that we would fight this. You knew that we would wrestle with this. And that's why you gave us your word. That's why you gave us the priorities of your word. That's why you gave us this commandment to not do it. And you showed us the consequences in doing it. As a matter of fact, your word says in Proverbs that a false witness will not go unpunished and a liar will be destroyed. God, none of us want to be destroyed. None of us want to stand before you in judgment. So we want to stand before you right. If we don't know the truth, then we don't speak anything that may not be truth. We don't listen to anything that wounds or destroys the reputation of another person. We just refuse to accept it. We pursue peace and we pursue truth. And you are truth. You said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's what we pursue. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.